This Sunday is the eighth Sunday after Pentecost. The psalm for the day is Psalm 110. Pastor Magruder is basing his sermon on all three of the scripture readings, beginning with Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 12 through 14. The epistle is found in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 11, and the Holy Gospel comes to us from the book of St. Luke, chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. Pastor Magruder, again, is basing his sermon on all three of these scripture readings and has entitled the sermon, Coveting, Money, and Stuff.
In the name of Jesus, amen. And he said to them, take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. It's interesting to me how all three of the readings today converge on that one reality. The texts this morning are all about money and stuff, and how you can't take it with you, and how foolish it is to try. You know, when it comes to wealth, the writer of Ecclesiastes is an expert. He's Solomon, King David's son. He was the richest king in the history of Israel. He had it all. To put it in modern terms, cars, houses, personal chefs, a wine cellar, horses, gardens, you name it. He was the Middle Eastern version of excess, over-the-top consumption. And now he's writing to tell us what it's like. His report from the lap of luxury, it's all vanity. Our English translation reads, the word is more like trying to catch the wind in your hand. You work and work and work, and you don't know what fool is going to inherit all of it. Or the economic bubble bursts, or your paper profits evaporate. And all that you've worked so hard for, all you've planned for, is gone. Like the wind. Now, we don't like to hear that. We've learned from early on the power in money as stored wealth. We don't have to build bigger barns like the guy in the parable. But we can simply gather our money, put it in the bank, or stuff it in a mattress, or whatever. And the beauty of money is that you can store your wealth, unlike grain. It won't get moldy. It may not earn much interest these days, but at least it won't rot. But the cost of our lust for wealth is great. Solomon is trying to warn us. There is nothing there, he's saying. But do we listen? Two brothers came to Jesus. They were fighting over an inheritance, and they wanted Jesus to serve as the mediator. And Jesus refuses to get involved. Man, who set me up as judge and arbitrator over you? Now think about Jesus' response and this whole weird situation with what you know about Jesus. Why he came. What he did. Jesus had come into this world to die and rise, to rescue the world from sin and damnation. And here are two brothers thinking that the greatest thing Jesus could do for them was arbitrate a dispute over their parents' inheritance. You'd think they know better. But Jesus, ever the great teacher, leverages this foolishness to teach an amazing thing. Watch out. Be on guard against all covetousness. Covetousness. That seemingly polite, almost secret sin of a heart that is unbuckled from God. You heard what St. Paul called covetousness. He called it idolatry. An idol is whatever you fear and love and trust in above everything else. In God we trust? Well, sometimes when it comes down to it, it's pretty much in gold we trust. And that love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. To drive home the point, Jesus tells another one of his parables. A parable of a rich man who had an unusual bumper crop one year. The land of a rich man produced plentifully, Jesus said. Notice that it's the land that produced it, not the man. But this excess created a crisis. What to do with it? Where to store it? And so he embarks on an ambitious building program, which can happen when you get a lot of wealth unexpectedly. You get ambitious. Tear down the old barns, build bigger, new ones to store my grain and my goods. And then after all the building and storing is done, he could finally retire. Eat, drink, relax. Kick back and have some fun. One small problem. There was that blood vessel that was scheduled to burst at 2 a.m. and his life would be over. All the things that he had labored over and undoubtedly worried about and planned would wind up in probate. And then what? It's a tragedy that's played off all too often. A wealthy person who has no joy in their riches. Or someone planning for a retirement that never comes. A plan cut short by cancer, or a heart attack, or an accident. As the preacher of Ecclesiastes says, it's all chasing after the wind. So what's the alternative? Is there a better way to live? The answer, of course, is yes. And the Apostle Paul gives us a unique insight to this in our epistle from Colossians chapter 3. He bases what he has to say on the fact that we have been raised with Christ and glorified. We died to this life, Paul says, even before our physical death, because baptism buried us into the death of Jesus. And if you're buried into the death of Jesus, you're also raised with him, the Bible says. So if you have been raised with Christ, Paul says, that's a rhetorical question. You have been. Seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Or as Jesus would put it, seek first the kingdom of God. And all these things, all the stuff of your life will be added. First the kingdom, the things that are above, the eternal things, what you will have forever, thanks to Jesus. Set your minds on things above, not on things that are on earth. Again, fix your minds that are renewed in Christ on eternal things, not temporal things. Why? You died. That's right, you're already dead to the world. And one of the nice things about being dead to the world is you have nothing in the world to lose. All that stuff you own that's piling up in your garage or attic or your retirement account is not your life. That's just your stuff. Your life, your real life, the true you as God created and intended, is hidden with Christ in God. Hidden. That means you can't see it now. You got to be told, or you wouldn't know it. So what does all this mean? It means that the abundance of your life is not in having an abundance of things, but being in Christ and receiving the abundance of life and mercy that He gives. It means that your life as you now live it is not a matter of building bigger barns to store more grain, but living. I mean, really living now. By faith in the Son of God who loved you and gave Himself up for you and who gives you so many gifts and an abundance of gifts, so much that you can't even imagine. It means that we hold what possessions God gives us, great or little, loosely, with an open hand of faith. There is nothing wrong with having big barns or lots of grain or lots of stuff. Abraham had stuff. David had stuff. Solomon had lots of stuff. And he wrote to warn us about it too. But those things can only be held on to loosely, or you won't enjoy it. You don't know the day or the hour that your life in this life will end. So what's the point of wasting it, worrying over stuff like that foolish rich guy who agonized over his barns when he had less than 12 hours to live? That's where idolatry will get you. Your idols will wind up consuming you, robbing you of every last ounce of joy that God gives you through those gifts. But holding them with the open hand of faith, trusting that even if we lose everything, we've lost nothing. In that, there's freedom to enjoy and to give away and to employ. It's interesting to get perspectives on this text from other ages. One early church father remarked of that rich man in the parable, there was plenty of storage space for his surplus grain in the empty mouths of the poor. Solomon, in all his wisdom, said this: there is nothing better for a person than that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also is from the hand of God, for apart from him, who can eat or who can have enjoyment? Ah, there's the secret. Apart from God, who can have enjoyment? without God at the center, without Jesus in the middle, redeeming all things, forgiving all things, making all things new, there really is no lasting enjoyment. It's just a race against decay, a futile running after the wind, an emptiness that can't be filled no matter how many ways you figure out to indulge yourself. And that's no way to live. And it's no way to have a life. But you know different, because you have been baptized into Christ. And you have Christ who holds your life in a way that you can't imagine, with grace and mercy through lean times and plentiful times, through sickness, health, joy, and sadness. So that when Christ, who is your life, appears one day, you will appear with him in glory. So until then, enjoy your life, the toil, the joys, the gifts. Enjoy your work, your food, your drink, because this too is a gift from God to be held loosely with grateful, faithful hands. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We confess the holy Christian faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us share with our pastor the words that the Lord Jesus Christ himself taught us, the words of the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, grant us wisdom to recognize the treasures you have stored up for us in heaven, that we may never despair, but always rejoice, and be thankful for the riches of your grace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Thank you for joining us on our website service. Now go in peace and serve the Lord.